savings. TheRoyFM.com/poll is the Royal Mobile app. Click the poll tab. Let me just tell you where we are. Right now, TJ Moore, 4th and 3, game on the line. Who gets the ball? This is a Clemson football question. And I've posted videos on my social media, so you can comment there. But I want you to get in on the poll, and I want you to get in here on our texter on the phones. And we'll go to Jason Columbia here in a second. Right now, TJ Moore is in the lead. 27.5% of voters say TJ Moore gets the ball. Christian Bentenker, 20%. Tyler Brown and Bryant Wesco with 15% apiece. Gideon Davidson, 7.5%. Chris Johnson Jr., Olsen, Pat Henry, Christopher Vezina with 5% of the vote. So still kind of early. I'm leaving this open for some days. I got a texter that said, can we wait till after the scrimmage to answer this question? Yes. That's why we did it. Got the first stadium scrimmage coming up tomorrow for Clemson.
Are you going to be at that?
I will not be at that.
Oh, okay.
I will not be at that. Nah, man. Look, they're barely letting players in. They for sure not letting me in. That's for dang sure. Text from the 864 says, Week 8, Tate Reynolds quarterback power. Okay.
So we're already...
That's like five other questions.
I don't know about you, but I don't think Tate Reynolds is on that poll.
He ain't in there. I didn't put any freshmen. Burroughs, Sellers, even like Brooking. Nah, no Fred, no Reynolds, no. Only people that we've seen or have had some career.
Okay.
As of yet. I need to at least have seen them in a Clemson uniform to put them in. And you know what? I only got eight slots. I got to cut it off somewhere.
You got to cut it off somewhere.
Let's go to Jason in Columbia is up with us next. What's up, Jason?
Hawk, Keanu, props again to Keanu. I told him, man, that's an awesome name. I envision him going through South Carolina like the Dr. Rick commercial where he's trying to teach the homeowners how to pronounce quinoa.
Yes.
And one of them actually says Keanu. And anyway, props to Keanu. He's doing a great job this week too. Listen, just please tell me you didn't have Chap Pendergrass on the poll options.
Did not get Chap in there.
Okay, that'll be an improvement over last season. and this kind of dovetails with everything that you've been talking about here, which I find fascinating. A couple of things you mentioned. Well, and I have to admit, Quark, I mean, I did go back this week and look at high school tape of Tate Reynolds and where he actually tucked it and ran. My man's got wheels. Not only does he look like he's 35 already, but he can run, dude. I mean, he's got speed, and I would assume with his build he's got power. But I understand you didn't put him on the poll, so we'll see how that goes. But you brought up something, a couple things that resonated with me. You know, you mentioned how, like, when Taj would do the QB power on third down, like, he never gave it to the Jet dude. And so that actually made me flash back to, and I hate to do this, but you remember the first quarter of the 2024 South Carolina game where we had 4th and goal?
Oh, boy.
And you remember we went into the game, our entire, like, offensive line was decimated. We didn't know who was going to be starting. And Philip Maffa, bless his heart, had one shoulder. And
I would say like 0.7 shoulders. I'm not even giving him a full shoulder.
Exactly. Yeah. And South Carolina, to their credit, had a beast mode defense that year, including the front seven especially, with Eamon Worry that would creep up into the box. So what does Garrett Riley do? He bunches everybody together and tries to go smash mouth, and we get stuffed. And the whole time I'm sitting there going, dude, please just give the ball to Antonio Williams on jet motion. He can easily outrun their defense to the corner for a yard.
Yes.
And so I am so interested in having that element because you're right. Even though on those third down Taj Boyd plays, we never handed it. Teams were afraid of Sammy Watkins on that jet sweep. I mean, teams were afraid of that for those 3 years that he was there, and they had to honor it. And I really want to see that. I know the game's evolved, but I just want to see that eye candy element. And, you know, I'm going to throw out a name quote that's getting a little bit of praise here that was very unexpected. When we talk about the difference in team speed now, hopefully with this team, obviously we're talking about Chris Johnson Jr., and, man, he would be an ideal candidate for those jet sweeps. We But you're starting to hear a little bit of buzz about Juju Preston.
Yep.
And obviously Juju's similar to CJ in terms of he's supposed to have elite speed, but he's a really slight guy. So you're not going to like bang in between the and obviously he's a wide receiver, but you're not going to ride him at this point in his state, his career. But I'd love to, if it turns out that he's really improved, just from the speed element, I'd love to see him on some of those motions. And then last thing, I think your Bentancur take is really well-founded. I actually went back, and for whatever reason, it popped up on my algorithm. You remember when Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were talking about their Mount Rushmore of receivers? They had a little podcast. And Tom Brady was just talking about how he had to put Gronk in there. And please, I'm not comparing Bentancur to Gronk, but I'm saying he was talking about, and we saw it when Dwayne Allen was here, the value of a big, strong tight end who can basically be uncoverable, whether he's running against a secondary member or a linebacker based on his athletic advantages. And I think it would behoove us to, let's see if Bentancur can become that kind of weapon in this offense.
I think that's a great point, Jason. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. He mentioned Preston. I have this thing in my brain, okay? Just call me crazy. I have this thing in my brain. And the reason I'm allowing myself to do this stuff is because I think Chad Morris, I've said it, maybe it's a curse, but Chad Morris will play in a sandbox zone. Remember, you know, last year you had the Denson package against SMU. You saw him one play and never again. You're like, well, if there was ever a time to just throw caution to the wind and do 16 exotic packages without your quarterback, then this would be the day. But they, for whatever reason, it was a hesitancy or whatever. They didn't prep well in practice. It never made its way to the game. You know, using personnel in unique and fun ways didn't really happen all that much. Like, you didn't see it. There was not a lot of creativity. It was a lot of just, like, calling ball plays. Chad Morris will play in the sandbox. He will get in there and draw a play up in the dirt. And I have this thing in my head where, at random, on a 2nd and 2, you get a mass sub with, like, 7 new guys, and Chris Denson comes in the Wildcat for one play, and Juju Preston runs the jet. And you just, who? Who is that? Who's that?
What are we
doing?
Who's
this? What's going on? I just have this image. And when it happens, I'm going to come on here, and I'm going to take the biggest victory lap ever. Because Juju Preston, even if he's just a decoy, which, again, I think you probably have to give the jet at some point, you know. Taj Boyd never did. I'm serious. If anybody has video of Taj Boyd giving a jet in a short yardage situation, please send it to me. I do not have any recollection that ever happened, that he ever gave the jet. He just faked it and ran it up the center's butt crack the entire, like, for years they did this every single time, and it worked for years every single time. But I'm just thinking about some exotic formations with some Denson, Wildcat. You know, he's a gadget player. Chris Johnson Jr. can be a gadget player. You give me Johnson, Preston. You give me two tight ends. Again, we're talking about 7 new people. We're talking about one snap here. If I'm a defense and I see, even if you do it like for Georgia Southern, just so everybody knows it's in there. Okay, you just throw it out there at Georgia Southern.
You're using special plays on Georgia Southern?
Yeah, okay. Just one.
All right.
Just one time.
Just one. All right, I'll indulge.
You giving me Chris Denson in the Wildcat with Chris Johnson Jr. on one side and Juju Preston on the other side and two tight ends.
This is a lot of speed.
So we're literally just doing, we're doing a Wildcat quarterback. We're doing speed everywhere. Maybe you put, I don't know, TJ Moore on the outside. Maybe you keep Vezina in the game as a quarterback over there. I don't know. And to the field. You go slot speed, and then boundary, you go speed. And you just do that. You're basically playing with 10. You just do that for one play. Because there is a speed element that I would like to see taken advantage of, either in the orbit jet sense of just motion. Motion requiring sprinting and communication, because they're fast and they're doing it efficiently. And You do have, I mean, you have some individual players that are gadgety. Chris Johnson is gadgety. Juju Preston right now is gadgety. Chris Denson is gadgety. If I'm just lining up running ball plays without creativity, then it's going to limit how I can get Preston involved. It's going to limit how I can get Denson involved, in particular those two guys. And in the conversation that we've been having about who's your go-to guy on fourth and three, if your strength is numbers, if it's quantity, not that I want to spend 25 snaps a game with Moore and or Wesco on the sidelines, I don't. But if your strength is quantity over quality, at least early, just dump out the bucket. See what happens. Throw all the formations. Throw all the crazy out there. Don't be afraid to get cute, is what I'm saying. If we got questions about offensive line, we got questions about run game, questions about quarterback, and our strength is in numbers, then let's play the numbers. Let's figure out ways to get the numbers involved somehow, some way. I think Chad Morris has a much better chance of doing that than his predecessor did. Let's go to Hank, who's up with us next on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Hank.
Hey, Quark. How you doing?
Good, man. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, you and Jason honestly kind of set me up for a lot of what I was going to talk through, which,
nice.
Which saves me some breath, which I'm sure everybody's happy about. But, you know, I've been talking to some of my friends about this who are Clemson fans, and everyone's either convinced that the Chad Morris hire was either the greatest decision ever or just an embarrassment that Dabo's trying to go back to the early days. But I'm not sure either way, but I kind of agree with them that and it might be a game-to-game basis, but I just feel like there's going to be a lot of boom or bust with this offense because there are so many elements, like you said, that the strength is in numbers, and we know, as Jason was saying, Chad Morris loves eye candy. He loves to try to set the table and cause misdirection, which could take a lot of pressure off the O-line, could take a lot of pressure off the Zena, and could get a lot of different guys involved. Or none of that could happen. You know, it could all be easily sniffed out. It could all be, some guys get hurt. You lose some guys who can stretch the field either vertically or horizontally, and it all kind of falls apart. And I'm just kind of, I'm torn on whether or not I think this is going to work really well or really poorly. And I guess my question is, am I being too dramatic? Do you see more of a middle ground where it works fairly well, or is it really as boom or bust as I feel like it can be? Thanks, and I'll take your thoughts off the air.
Hank, appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. When we come back, I'm going to answer that question. You know what? I'm just going to let it linger. I was going to make a statement to set it up, but I'm just going to let that linger during the break. I'll answer that question when we come back. 654 Roar is the number. Pratt and Drew Large phone lines. Adam's a Cooperfing text line. We press on with the program next.
They say you should never meet your heroes.
But is there a rule against hanging out with your favorite radio host?
Check out our remote calendar on theroarfm.com
to find out when one of our shows will be in your area.
The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
I got to tell you about one of the best new flights available. And it's a flight on Breeze Airways. 6 years is all Breeze has been a company. They've got more than 170 year-round and seasonal nonstop routes between 60-plus cities, 30 states represented, and they're building out more nonstop flights as well. They already had Orlando, Tampa, Fort Myers, Providence, Hartford, Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Los Angeles. And less than 2 months ago, about 6 weeks ago now, they started flying direct to Cincinnati and Fort Lauderdale. And all of these flights are originating from GSP. GSP International Airport, that's a home game for me. I love GSP. No long lines at security. The parking has expanded tremendously. It's the easiest in-and-out airport that I'm in. And I'm in airports, a considerable amount of time. We're talking about one of the best airports in North America, and we're talking about one of the best airlines in North America that's winning awards. For as low as $59, you can fly at Breeze. BreezeAirways.com for more.
College football lives here. 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Peace of mind is the greatest value.
They're taking advantage of all of those. All eight of the possible responses in the poll have multiple responses in the affirmative. Who gets the ball? Any of them. That's what y'all are saying. Any of them. Who gets the ball when you're in a plumbing emergency? who gets the call maybe? One Tom Plummer. Call the plumber whose name is his number. These folks get it. They understand the value of emergency service, particularly in plumbing. You cannot put a price tag on the peace of mind that says somebody's going to get there within 24 hours. They'll go into overtime. They'll go into after hours to be able to get your plumbing emergency taken care of. In certain situations, that's what you have to go on, is that peace of mind and knowing that it's not going to, you know, it's not going to make our weekend miserable that we have a huge clog or a leak or a busted pipe or some kind of a hot water issue that our home and our business that continue to run. Call the plumber whose name is his number. That's one Tom Plumber. You know what? Speaking of plumbing, we need to talk about this. So you mentioned to me before the show that you had thoughts about the VRBO discussion that happened this morning with us making, like, I don't know, a guest suite or something here.
Mickey was talking about making, like, a little room for people to sleep in back here, and he made some comments saying that he doesn't want to sleep in the same bed, the same bed sheets, the same comforter as Faxon and Sam, you and Ben. And I thought that was very funny. And he also made some comments about how the office microwave looks. And I haven't been back there to see the office microwave. I know the office microwave could definitely be one of the biggest enemies of an employee.
Okay. So we got two things going on here.
Okay.
Let's go with the VRBO first, okay? Just a little room in the back with the shower and a little sink area or whatever.
My question is definitely who's going to clean this and who's going to use it? Because I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily need to use it. He was making the argument saying that if maybe you or somebody else needs to come to the station and take a shower or sleep, they can do that. I'm trying to figure out where we're going to put this at, though.
Okay, here's what I would say. Who's going to clean it? Whoever uses it is going to clean it.
Okay, fair
like
enough.
We're all grown-ups. Like, you know, we got to act like grown-ups, okay?
You know, I'm going to tell you one specific time, and this is a funny story. I was at somebody's house, and I happened to go into the bathroom, and this is a general consensus of just how I am, but I have to make sure the bathroom is clean before I use it. You don't sit down on the toilet at anybody's house unless they're clean. I have minimal people that I actually sit down on the toilet. Anyway, you always pull back the shower curtain. I don't know if you've done this. If you ever go to somebody's house and you need to use the bathroom, you always go to the shower curtain and you pull back that curtain. That'll tell you a lot that you need to know about how clean that bathroom is.
I have no comment on this. I have no comment on my home. Here's what I would say, though. It has been discussed. I'll just tell you. Like, since in the time that we've been in this building, putting, like, a shower or a bathroom has been discussed. Look, there are times I go to the gym in the morning, and I come in here, and I can't go from the gym to home to shower to change, whatever. Like, I just change. I just do the show sweaty.
What gym do you go to?
I go to gym in Greenville.
Okay.
So I drive to Greenville.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. Brits Brothers. It's good.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
My man Guy in there. Shout out to Guy. Coach Guy. Tyler Brown trains with Coach Guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I do. I come in here, I'm sweaty. It'd be great. Ben is an active person, okay? Ben is a workout warrior. We got people that do Iron Man stuff in the building. It is nice to have a place where we can be clean.
So what you're saying, this would be beneficial to the station, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. So Mickey's talking about it like for overnight stuff. I'm talking about in the middle of the day. Frees me up to go sweat at 9 a.m. and come in here, shower, and have plenty of time to show prep, get ready for the program. That's what I'm doing.
So like,
that's where my head's at.
So what if there's just a ball of hair on the wall? How would you feel about that?
Not okay. Not okay. I like Mickey's idea of a sign in, sign out. So we know whose responsibility.
Use the bathroom. Oh my Lord.
We know whose responsibility. Like, hey, I'm gonna use the guest room. Okay, I'm gonna use the guest room tonight. I'm gonna use it this weekend. Whatever. I'm sleeping overnight. Or I'm using the shower.
So
if there's something wrong with the shower, it's on me.
A sense of accountability is what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm asking.
Okay.
And that's what I'm asking. Are we willing to let people, or that's what I'm assuming, that's what I'm pledging, is that we're adults we want to shower, we can do that.
You wearing shower shoes in that shower?
No.
Or are you just going barefoot?
Barefoot.
When you were in college, did you have shower shoes?
No, I didn't have shower shoes.
Quack. William Quackenbush.
Of course
are
not.
Are you telling me in college, in those shared bathrooms, you were not wearing shower shoes?
Nah, man.
What?
Nah, man.
Oh, nah. My goodness.
It's clean. It's a clean environment.
No. Nah, man. No. No, absolutely not. You're telling me,
it's a clean environment,
right in front of me, telling me that you did not wear shower shoes? Nah.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't recall doing... I mean, there might have been occasion I wore some, like some beach flip-flops in there.
No shower shoes is devious.
Nah, man.
Devious.
Not doing it.
Okay, so not what happens... It. You don't have any fungus, so what happens if you just pick something up? Are you not thinking about the...
You know what I'm doing? If I'm picking up fungus in the shower, it's getting wiped right off because I'm in the shower.
You can't just wipe off fungus, Clark.
I'm in the shower.
You cannot.
I'm not getting fungus. There's water and soap. The combination of water and soap cleans the fungus.
No.
I'm good.
I don't think you've ever been to the doctor. When's the last time you had a checkup? When is the last time you've been to the checkup?
I did not have a doctor in college, I'll tell you that. I have no idea what I escaped in college.
No shower shoes.
No clue.
That is absurd.
No clue.
You know, I moved into this new place, and I had a roommate.
Keanu's getting crushed for shower shoes.
There is no way you're not using shower shoes.
You got a couple people on your side, but
there's no way.
The large majority are with me on this.
Okay, since we're already on this topic,
yeah.
When you go, do you use the bathroom in public? Like I'm talking about number two. Do you number two in public?
Not on a routine basis.
Because I feel
not
like,
regularly.
I
at
feel
all.
Like the same people that don't wear shower shoes that have roommates and stuff like that are the same people that would put their bare bottom on toilets. They're bare bottom. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. Bare butt. Bare butt on toilet. That is some devious work. I do not stand for it. Nobody. That's crazy to me.
What? Let me just ask this, okay? Let me ask this because I'm going to paint you a picture, okay? This does not apply to shower shoes. It would apply to a public restroom situation. There just are moments where time is of the essence.
There are moments
where the calculation, the cost-benefit analysis of time versus going above and beyond for germ reasons, that time is more of a factor.
You cannot justify
this
anyway.
I cannot in my brain. Look, my wife and I are different on this. I have lots of people out there that are different on this. There are enough things to worry about in my life. I do not worry about the potential for bad outcomes that I can't see. I do not worry about that. I know they exist everywhere around me. There are so many things that I can physically see in life that are bad outcomes for me, that are threats to me. I am not worried about what just happened when I walked into that shower and showered myself and walked out. I'm not worried about that. I feel like that is above what my nervous system can handle. So I don't do that.
These are things that you have to think about. My mother would be so disappointed in me if she found out that I walked into a shower without shower shoes. She'd be so disappointed. I think she would disown me at that point.
Dre said, this is so good. This is such a good topic. If you out here raw dogging public showers and public restrooms, you need to be in the South Carolina Department of Corrections.
Clip this. Qualk is a raw dogger.
The next text says, they make shower shoes?
No, obviously not, but flip-flops of some sort. Flip-flops, come on, guys. No, man.
Blake in Dallas says, only a trained maniac would sit his bare bum on the toilet. I'm just saying... Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't have the time? If I'm using a public restroom, I'm not doing it because I've got a leisurely schedule. If time is not a factor in my public restroom usage, then I'm going home. Time is always, who is using a public restroom that's like, I can hold it for 15, 20? I want to know who y'all are.
Me.
Who are just bebopping into
Me.
Public restrooms who are like, I could drive home 8 minutes, but instead I'm just going to bebop into this public restroom.
Quack, I've seen pee, feces on a toilet. there's no way. And
that is irrelevant to my point. I'm saying if time is of the essence, I'm not even looking. I just got to park it, time is of the essence. I can't think about that. Because in the time it takes to think about that, we're running out of time. 10 seconds, MacGruber. We're running out of time here.
You know, and the only reason I go to that extent is because I'm not going to say where I work, but I work at a specific place, and you know, I had to clean bathrooms a couple of times, and when you go in there, now guys, I'm gonna just go ahead and paint this picture for you. Mickey and Ashby were talking about this earlier today.
Oh Lord,
they were saying that men are more nasty than women. I can attest to this. I think that is completely wrong. Because if you have ever been in a woman's bath or women's bathroom and had to clean that mug, you would see some ungodly stuff. You would see some ungodly stuff. Have you ever seen a poop mural?
Oh, my God.
Tell me how. Tell me how you can put poop on a wall. I've been in certain situations where there's poopy underwear on the floor, and I have to take a stick and pick up crusty poop off the floor.
What has happened?
So this is what I'm saying as to when you're using these bathrooms, you have to be very conscious of how nasty people are in this world. And you're telling me you're just going out here with no shower shoes, putting bare butt cheeks on a toilet without any consequence. I think this is absurd. I think this is devious. You should get 20 to life, Quok. I am the judge and the executioner, and I think you deserve 20 to life. This is 20 to life. No parole. No parole.
This is my favorite thing that's ever happened.
None.
On the show.
None. You're no talking parole. About, no parole.
You're talking about puke. Poop murals.
Poop. Leonardo da Vinci couldn't have painted it better than that. I have seen some nasty stuff. And women's bathrooms, do not get me started. There's some things that I have seen in a women's bathroom that should never be shared. Never be shared.
Oh, man.
Never be shared. I have never. This is insane. This is insane.
Oh, Lord. Texter set for the 864. This is my takeaway. Keanu needs his own show. Radio Gold.
Oh my goodness!
You ruined lunch for some people.
I am so sorry, folks at home, folks, people that are listening. I am so sorry, but I just couldn't imagine putting my nice shaven butt on a disgusting toilet.
Oh Lord!
Nah, not me.
Texter says, "WTF? We talking about? We had 2 football games last night. First of all." We had 6 football games last night. Second of all, no, we didn't. Because I sat down and watched that trash. I convinced myself that it was a football game last night. And there are millions of adults every year that lie to themselves that preseason football is football. If you like to watch the UFL, may I introduce you to preseason week 1. If you like to watch arena football, might I introduce you to preseason week 1. Jeremiah Love's going to play. Jeremiah Love is really good. And then what happened? Then we turned the football off and we watched undrafted roster players take on nonsense scrap heap guys. Not football. Not last night. There were not 2, there were 6, and that was loosely described as football. A lot of field goals in scoring range, if
just
you catch my drift.
Just a bunch of players are probably going to get cut or going to ride the bench.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, let's take a break. We're not topping that, but we're going to try after this.
The Roar's 2026 College Football Kickoff Show will be live from Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley. August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Come out and meet all your favorite hosts and producers as they break down everything you need to know. The Roar, where every day is game day.
All right, let me talk about Catazoom for a second. They have wrapped our studio. They have wrapped a couple other rooms in our building. They put logos up everywhere. If you, particularly if you have a vehicle that advertises your business, you're a contractor, somebody like that, HVAC, a roofer, pressure washer, that sort of stuff, you want a good ROI on your marketing money. They can do full wraps. They do partials. They do spot graphics. They're incredibly budget-friendly. They can work with you. If you want interior corporate branding for walls, like we have, lobbies, sales offices, all that stuff, they also can do privacy stuff like frosted glass or special design. They can do window tinting and ceramic coating, yard signs. This is what Catazoom does. They are incredibly customer friendly because they understand that your business needs marketing, and they know how to do it better than anybody. Find out more at catazoom.com.
We got your summer covered.
Summer sports station.
105.5 and 97.5. The Roar.
Why, that was amazing? Because, I mean, Keanu felt that, man. Like you felt that in your soul.
You're very passionate about it. There's certain things that I'm very passionate about, and cleanliness is most definitely one of them.
I did promise that I would answer Hank's question. I did promise that. A couple other things. Sam says, clip this, and he's the guy responsible for clipping stuff.
This will most definitely be clipped.
You actually said, clip this. Oh, man. Now, you know what? I don't even remember. I jotted down an unintelligible note. Do you remember what Hank's final question was that I said I was going to talk about in that segment? Because I jotted down, and I'm like, oh, look at my note. And I have no idea what my shorthand means.
I would not be able to tell you.
Okay.
Maybe Hank needs to call back in.
Hank, get back in. Text me. Remind me what your question was. Because I have no idea what I have no idea what this means.
That conversation just jarred my brain so much as to I can't remember what happened in the last 15 minutes.
No idea in any way, shape, or form. No idea. We will talk about it, though. If you just joined us. Oh, there we go. Mitch gets in. He got it. We're talking about Clemson's offense, okay? 4th-and-3, game on the line. Who do you want with the ball? We've got a poll brought to you by Ingles. TheRoarFM.com/polls. Roar Mobile App. Click the poll tab. I've got all over my social media looking for comments about who gets the ball on 4th-and-3 with the game on the line. What's the player that you think of? And Mitch reminds us that we're talking about middle ground on boom or bust with Chad Morris. It's an excellent question. There are three options. You know, the old saying, like, if you could, it gets attributed to a lot of old coaches. Frank Howard said it. I think a lot of old coaches have said it when you ask them about the passing game, and they say when you throw the ball, three things happen, two of them are bad. When you're talking about offense, there are three possible outcomes for the Clemson offense, and two of them are not great. Not great, Bob. Okay. Option one is that it goes gangbusters. Goes great. Everything is awesome. Okay. Ride the wave all year. Like 2011. Okay. 2012, 2013. Ride the wave. Option two is that it's horrible, like Hank is talking about, where things do not work well, which I would argue Clemson hasn't had an offense like that since 2010. Really haven't had an offense like that since 2010. And even then, it wasn't all of 2010. Like I heard Fax and Sam talking about that Auburn game. Clemson's offense really was good in the Auburn game. Kyle Parker getting hurt in that game, getting speared, and having the ramifications of that through the year, some tough losses, whatever. Like they were bad. They were bad offensively at the end of that season. But early on, they weren't horrible. It wasn't like the worst thing you've ever seen. But that could happen. What I think is a middle ground, though, is what Hank is talking about, where Clemson fans can root for boom or bust. Now, boom or bust is not fun for coaches. I think coaches, this sounds crazy, I think coaches would rather have an offense that sort of generally is bustish every week so they can plan around it. Like the one thing that coaches really like is they really like floors. They like to know where the floor is. So you can try to win a game at your floor. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
So in a lot of ways, that's where fans and coaches get on different pages, different wavelengths. Because fans like ceilings. Fans like excitement. They like big plays. They like boom, 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 boom. They like fireworks. Fans love it. Coaches like floors, and they don't like low floors, and they don't like variance. Because, think about this, they have to decide, what are you going to provide, or what are we going to get from this unit or this player or this aspect or whatever from game to game? And if you don't know, that is horrible for a coach. Because you go into every game thinking, well, if I get that, then I can do this, this, and this. If I don't get that, then I can't do this, this, or this. And if this works, then I got to do this on defense. If it doesn't work, then I have to do all these other things. Coaches like predictability. They like floors. Fans like ceilings. So I feel like a coach would even say, if we struggle on offense in kind of a similar way every week, like if we have the same problems, then we can figure out how to mitigate those, and we can try to scheme around it. We can do some different things defensively to try to scheme around it if I know what I'm getting. But what I think is the most likely outcome is exactly what Hank said. I don't think this offense is going to go boom, boom, 10 games. I don't think so. I also don't think they're going to bust 10 games. I don't think that's true. I think the best case scenario for Clemson is probably like an 8-4. Like 8, boom, 4, bust, relatively speaking. And the goal is to not have one game where you're just the worst ever. Like, and I would include defense in this, but like the first half of the Syracuse game, first half of Troy, like the worst ever. Can you imagine?
That's as bad as you can get.
Horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. So to Hank's question, I do think that there's going to be some boom or bust. I just think you need to boom about twice as much as you bust. And you need the defense to be solid 12 times or 11 times or 10 times. I think you can expect more from that side of the ball. Because the captain of your defense, quarterback of your defense, is Sammy Brown. That might be the best player in your whole football team. You have a schemer in his second year. You're more veteran on that side of the ball, too. You've got pass rush. You've got first-round pick, potentially in Ashton Hampton. And you've got Elliott Washington as an older corner. Like, you just have more things on defense. You have more things that you love on the defense. I don't know that you have more a whole lot that you love on offense to avoid four games where it's just not going great. You buying what I'm selling there on the boomer bust conversation?
I definitely understand what you're talking about. I mean, as far as offense goes, there's particular questions that you do have, which is kind of my concern as quarterback play, offensive line play, running back kind of ish. But the only established position group on the offense is pretty much wide receiver. So you have a lot of questions there. And I definitely definitely understand what you're talking about when you say boom or bust. Definitely.
I want to shift gears into something here for our final 5 minutes or so, and this may lead to something else. I've got a couple other things I want to hit today. But a couple days ago, and we haven't really talked about this at all, but we need to start going through these things. There are some rule changes that have been put into effect. The National Football Foundation announced them in college football, okay? One is about targeting, which we've talked about. They're going to modify the targeting rule, but officially, if you get a targeting penalty in the second half of a game, you no longer have to sit out the first half of the team's next game, so it doesn't carry over. You like that?
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That rule entirely is just really weird of the specifications of how it's played out. I definitely like that. Definitely love to see the players on the field that next game. So I'm not too mad about that. That's a good call.
Okay, there's another part to this rule. They basically are doing yellow card, red card system instead, where the first time you get a targeting, you can play in the next game. So you get ejected from the game, but you can play for one targeting. The second time you get a targeting, you have to miss the first half of the next game. The third targeting, you have to sit out a full game. So I would like for them to do yellow card, red card in the same game where you get one and you don't have to sit out.
That would make more sense to me. I kind of like where you're going with that. I feel like targeting is such a rule that, I mean, as a football player, I played in high school. Now I haven't played at a high level. But the way that you're taught is to keep your head up. You can only keep your head up but so much. I mean, you're literally running into another person. Now, it's one thing if you're spearheading somebody, right? That's one thing. But if it's an unintentional act of your head colliding with another player's, that's a whole different story. But they'll still call it targeting.
Right.
So I guess it's so-and-so.
All right, there are others of this. Offensive pass interference going from 15 to 10 yards, which I kind of like, especially given that a lot of offensive pass interference is in the RPO game now. It's sort of like an eligible man downfield. Like, it's in the RPO game. It's receivers blocking in the horizontal game. It's not, you know, what I see anecdotally, I'm seeing a lot more, like, close to the line of scrimmage instead of, you know, pushing off to go get the ball in an egregious way that would be cause for an OPI. So that I like that change. Unsportsmanlike conduct, they've talked about the gestures or whatever. You can't have a weapon. You can't do a throat slash or a nose wipe either, which, okay.
I kind of like that celebration, honestly.
I kind of like the nose wipe.
The nose wipe is just nasty to me. Yeah. I kind of like it. I like that one. Why can't they do the nose wipe?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
I think they make it like a statement saying it's like gang affiliated or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. But I kind of like the nose wipe celebration. CeeDee Lamb is a big proponent of that celebration.
Yes,
and he does it quite nice too.
He's gonna have a hard time.
I might hit a little nose wipe walking out of here today.
Oh, let's go! Head coach has two replay challenges. There's some other things with helmets. Not a lot that's different. So I didn't want to spend too much time on it, but those are things that are going to come up, and they're things that we're going to chat about. Texter says it is gang related. Does it have to be gang related?
I feel like it doesn't have to necessarily. I feel like a lot of things that people kind of take are gang related, but it's really not. Now, people in gangs may do that certain gesture. That doesn't really make it gang affiliated.
I think it's gang-affiliated if everyone knows it's gang-affiliated. Do you think the average person knows that it's gang-affiliated?
Probably not, but, you know, there's certain stereotypes and things such as that. So
I mean...
That's a whole other...
Like, we know what throat slash is.
Well, yeah.
We know what that is.
I kind of get that in, like, the whole guns thing. I kind of get that because, obviously...
You can't Dylan Stewart. You can't stand over somebody with an automatic rifle. Just fire. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You can't do that.
Okay, so if another player's on the ground and he hits him with a sword slash, are we going to ban a sword too?
Yes! Obviously, yes!
A little samurai action? That'd be pretty cool.
More on this. More nonsense in Hour 3.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Let me tell you about Jim Anthony in Falls Park at